This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The European Parliament has voted to pass a controversial reform for online copyright rules, and the result is that big tech platforms are pre-filtering user-generated content uploads, and now they've got to pay for them.
Yeah, so under the new EU copyright reform legislation, social media platforms like Facebook and YouTube will be required to guarantee that content uploaded by users does not breach copyright rules, and they'll have to get licensing agreements with creators such as musicians, performers and authors. So platforms as well as such as Google News will also have to pay publishers for press snippets shown in the search results. So the two most controversial clauses of the law are Article 11, which obliges search engines and news aggregators to pay for links from websites, as well as Article 13, which holds large tech companies accountable for user-generated content.
So according to the EU, the law is aimed at bringing the EU's rule on copyright into the 21st century to sort of help artists and also publishers whose work has been widely dispersed on the internet through all these platforms. So media companies and artists, they are supporters of this law, saying that it would enable them to be better paid for their content, for their work, artistic work, and when their output is used by information aggregators and also social network. However, this met with strong opposition in the Silicon Valley, especially Google, who has been making a lot of profit on advertisement generated from all this content, and supporters of the free internet, to express their fears with regards to reform, which will sort of bring up again the unprecedented restriction on web freedom.
Yeah, we have Paul McCartney as well as Debbie Harry supporting this rule, naturally so, because they can be paid for their creativity and copyright. But the people who are against it, interestingly, Tim Berners-Lee, who was a pioneer in founding the internet, as well as Wikipedia founder James Wills.
Yeah, so one of the things that has come out of the concerns resulting from this is the explanation that certain things, so memes, so short video clips that go viral, will be specifically excluded from the new directive. It's a German MEP has said that the new law will not lead to censorship, but will create legal certainty on the use of copyright-protected material. So things that are not copyright-protected, so for example, open data, which things that have been uploaded on open-source platforms like GitHub, that's going to be automatically excluded from the legislation as well.
Yeah, I think this is all down to the user, right? When you go onto YouTube, for example, would you want to pay for watching on YouTube? How does that work? I mean, you pay on Spotify with a monthly subscription, and that's kind of channeled to the artist. But what about YouTube? It's essentially a media company giving free entertainment to everybody, but charging for advertisement.
That's right. So, I mean, looking at this new development, it's an interesting one, especially coming from Europe. I mean, there's been a lot of regulations that have been come up with regards to regulating the internet, curbing the internet. For example, the GDPR, which was introduced early last year, and also the recent antitrust which relates to competition law. So all this has all tied down together, and we're talking about a consumer protection issue. We're talking about a competition for the country, for the companies within Europe, especially when companies in the US are collecting a lot of huge amount of data, and all this are sort of creating a disadvantage for them.
I mean, we're going to look at Astro's results later on, and there is this very big distinction to be drawn between a subscription service and an ad service. I mean, BFM is an ad model where if anybody comes on here, you're not going to be able to pay them anything for the content. With the content on YouTube as well, it's very not very structured. I mean, and also, I mean, if you want to really expand this, what about malls, right? If you go to Mid Valley, for example, they're really charging you for the traffic, which is exactly what a media company does. I mean, they charge rental, of course, but they bring traffic to you. There's certain other models, like, for example, have you guys been to Urbanscapes, right? Urbanscapes is essentially a media model where people kind of walk in for free, or no longer free, right? It used to be free. Now it's very expensive because of the bands that they bring in. But that's also a media model where you go out there and charge vendors for the traffic. So I'm not sure how YouTube is going to survive after this if they had to pay everyone for content. I'm sure they find a way. Now, the other big news, Brexit. The In the UK, the MPs are basically trying to, something new in order to break out of the current impasse. British lawmakers have taken over control of the Brexit process from Prime Minister Theresa May. So what does this all mean?
So basically, it means that the MPs are going to be facilitating the government, so vote by voting on a series of options, so in the hopes that they can collectively establish what option could command a majority in the House. So if you've read about this, you might have come across the term indicative vote. So this is what that refers to. So groups are now putting forward a variety of different options for the UK's future relationship with the EU. Several of these are based on the assumption that an existing withdrawal agreement with the EU would be approved, albeit with changes to the Northern Ireland's backstop. Others call for a basic free trade agreement and another, or maybe even another referendum on when Brexit, on whether Brexit goes ahead.
So for some insights into this, a very complicated issue, we spoke to Patrick Diamond, Associate Professor of Public Policy at Queen Mary University in London. And we asked him whether Theresa May seemingly losing control of the Brexit process and lawmakers are now in charge. We asked what will happen to Theresa May right now.
Very difficult question to answer at the present time. It's not the case that necessarily the power has passed to legislators, because there's still a big question about whether Parliament can decide a coherent position on Brexit. That has yet to be determined. But certainly at the moment, the Prime Minister looks to be out of the picture. And it's just, I think, a question of whether she resigns in the next week or within the next month. I think she has a very limited amount of time left in office.
We then move to the indicative vote options that lawmakers are to consider. Among them would be a second referendum crashing out with no deal and a Norway-style deal with the EU, giving the UK full access to the single market and the European free trade area. We asked Patrick, what is the voting process like and what options does he think they're likely to be voting for?
Well, they're going to draw a distinction between options which are essentially negotiating positions on Brexit, so things like whether Britain should stay in the single market, whether it should stay in a customs union. So there will be votes on substantive Brexit policy positions, and the MPs will try to come to a coherent, agreed view about which of those positions they support. There will also be votes on process, so what should happen next, depending on whether agreement can be reached. So should there be a second referendum? Should Britain be prepared to leave with no deal at all? Should there be a revocation of Article 50, so in effect reversing the whole Brexit process? These options will all be discussed. So there'll be a mix of substantive Brexit policy as well as the process by which the position is best resolved.
And looking beyond Brexit, the government has said that opting for the indicative vote would upend the balance between the UK's democratic institutions and sets a dangerous, unpredictable precedent for the future. So we asked Patrick if this is really setting such a precedent.
It's not clear that it does, because the British political system works very heavily around executive power. And although in this instance it may appear as if the executive has lost some control and given it to MPs, we're yet to see whether MPs can reach a clear decision. And there are many commentators in British politics who think that MPs will struggle to reach an agreed position. And if that happens, the choices before Parliament will then be essentially whether to reverse the Brexit process or whether to leave the EU with no deal at all. And given the Prime Minister ruled out that option yesterday, leaving with no deal, because of the catastrophic effects on the economy as well as on the United Kingdom as a whole, it would appear as if the UK was set for quite possibly reversing the entire Brexit process. That seems at the moment to be one of the most likely and plausible options on the table.
And that was Patrick Diamond over at the Queen Mary University of London talking to us about the Brexit process after Theresa May lost control of the parliamentary process. Coming up next, we dive into why Astro achieved some poor results. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.